Good evening. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I will give, at least for this year, full disclosure is that there is a really extensive article in English that is available online by Rabbi Broid, who really did a lot of research on this. In fact, if you Google anything on the internet having anything to do with Judaism and secular holidays, that is the first thing that comes up on multiple websites. So I've pulled out some of it, and that's what we're doing tonight. There's a little bit that I've added, but not, of course, there's some stuff I've taken away and cut out or whatever. But that is, if anybody wants to do more research, I certainly, and he's did an article, and then there's additions to the article, and there's further additions to the article that we'll all try to include tonight. Broide. So on the same website that this will be available, this year will be available also. It is available. So you're welcome to certainly tune that in. Tune into that. Okay. So the idea of secular and religious holidays ignore, recognize, or celebrate. So the truth is, in terms of the modern, even though it's passed already 2-3 weeks ago, the modern hashkafa, the modern look, the modern... most of the discussion in modern day has been about Thanksgiving. So even though that passed a little bit, that's really kind of the foil to use. And then we can go and adapt that to Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day, July 4th, Halloween. That should pretty much round up. Veterans Day, right? All of that stuff, that should pretty much round up the entire year. So the first, we'll start with the most extreme to really the what we call, you know, the prohibition side, which is Rav Yitzhak Kuttner. Rav Yitzhak Kuttner has, he didn't really write it, but there is a volume of Pachad Yitzchak that is his... That is his letters and his article, a couple of letters from a footnote. So he has one article that he seems, although you'll notice in the article, he never explicitly mentions Thanksgiving. But the understanding is that that's what he's talking about. That he is talking about in this shiva, on the left side of the page, he's talking about Thanksgiving. And he's talking about... it seems like the question, again, we don't really know what the question is. That happens a lot of times when we talk about responsive literature. You don't know exactly what the question is, you only get the answer. So the first question seems to be dealing with can we recognize a holiday that's been added in later on? And it's also, in addition to that, he's talking about then specifically, something, can we keep something according to the secular calendar? I mean, first of all, adding things in, and then anything according to the secular calendar. And he writes in both sections that any time you use the secular calendar, you pretty much have to assume that it has something to do with the Avodah Zarah. And anything that's ever been added in, or any type of holiday that is ever added in according to the secular world, there's a problem of either Avodah Zarah or a problem of what we call Chukas Hagoyim, which we're going to analyze slightly now, but more in depth. That's really what next week's year is about, the idea of not to follow in the ways of non-Jews. And he comes in with that assumption. So therefore, if you analyze anything according to any, getting any benefit from the secular calendar, itself, he's going to see, he says, it's Chukas Hagoyim. He says it's a problem of, it has a basis in Avodah Zarah and all that kind of stuff. It's even anything having to do with the calendar. So anything that is based on the secular calendar, he's going to say is going to be a problem, he's going to say is us, or therefore you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. So the tradition is, Rav Yitzhak Kuttner was the Rosh Hashiva in Chaim Berlin. I don't think do we have any, you're not alumni of Chaim, no. Any alumni of Chaim Berlin here? So they say, although I don't, they say that in Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, that the day Sunday, what time is Minyan on Sunday? Minyan on Sunday should be the same time the Minyan is during the week. What do you mean everyone's off from work? Doesn't matter, everything's off from work. How dare you recognize Sunday as a unique day of the week? Sunday is... It's not Sunday, it's Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon Avodah, right? How could you do anything out of the ordinary on Sunday that wouldn't be for the rest of the fucking years? Send this back to you. Thank you. So he has two. Really, I guess if you go to Bayes, it's I guess the most explicit line. It says, "Odo she'lasecha shniya ineni baki b'tivha minhagim v'alichos chatchem shalahem." Because in terms of your second question, I'm not really an expert in any of their minhagim or any of their actions, anything they do. Aval achas ani yodei. It says one thing I do know. V'zehu klal motzik mibli yotzi min haklal. And this is a rule that there's no exclusions to the rule. Ki kol anhaga v'chol chiddush hayotzi mimakoros halalu. That all practices and all new things that come from these types of sources, meaning secular sources, that's something that comes clearly from non-Jews. And if you separate from them, so you're connected to the Chaim. If you connect to secular practices, you're separating from life. Ulamito shall davar tzarach liyisrachik min haminhagim halalu, that you have to separate yourselves from these customs, min hadoma ledoma, anything like it or anything like it, anything that's anywhere close. Aval shuvalai lachsva al avram nizgal ki kol zeh hi lekushta demilsa emes hapshut vabriya, aval lefi hatanayim lefi hazman tzarach harbi pekuchos maizim ketelishna ashram. But you have to figure out exactly how to spread it. That's actually the paragraph above. In the paragraph above, he says you might not want to share this with too many people. Meaning, if the world finds out that we're not celebrating Thanksgiving, so that would be a terrible thing. If the world finds out that we're not celebrating the 4th of July, that would be a terrible thing. But really, between us, it's really all about avodah zarah. It's really terrible, and you really shouldn't have anything to do with it. So therefore, he prohibited changing the minyan time on forget about holidays on Sundays. he prohibited having well, Sunday, you have to get married sometimes. But he would say that you shouldn't get married on Thanksgiving. People sometimes get married on Thanksgiving because everybody's off from work. Why do we get married? Why do we have weddings on Thanksgiving? Right? Not because it's a celebration of Thanksgiving. It's because people are off from work then. So he says that shouldn't be done either. That you shouldn't have, and there should be no significance. Nothing should be changed other than, I guess, stay home from work. So, as we'll see, that's a question might be, well, wait a second. In New York, where I'm from, they had this thing called alternate side of the street parking. Right? So alternate side of the street parking is suspended on Yom Tov. Why are they suspended on holidays, by the way? They're suspended on holidays because the Jews complained and said that the Jews said, we can't move our cars, and if you have to stop the alternate side of the street parking on the Jewish holidays. So then everyone else said, well, we only expect the Jewish holidays, but not our holidays. So therefore, all the holidays are therefore alternate side of the street parking is suspended. So maybe, according to Rav Huttner, it doesn't matter that alternate side of street parking is suspended. We should still have to move our car, right? How dare you recognize the fact that it's a yontif, even if it's for the purpose of alternate side of the street park. That was always the big thing. Someone put up in the base medrash in YU, there are all these weird days over the course of the year that are that nobody really knows are holidays, but because some group said that this is whatever, so they suspend the alternate side of street parking then also. So we had a big sign in the base medrash, alternate side of the street parking suspended due to, in honor of, some random holiday that nobody's ever heard of. It's always like a big simcha in the base medrash, and we don't have to move our cars. All right, anyways, so that is kind of the starting point. The starting point is anything, he says, anything that's connected to avodah zarah is connected to actions of non-Jews, and therefore it shouldn't be done. Okay, let's go back maybe perhaps into the source itself. Now there is, this again, this will be more discussed much more in depth next week. But source number two is really the key siman in the Shulchan Aruch that discusses the idea of following in the ways of the non-Jews. And it's based on two separate sugyas and two separate areas of the Gemara and how you put the two of them together, and that's really going to be next week's discussion. So the Ramah, the bottom part, now it's always, you can't even go through this without thinking about the sociology. The Mechaber lived in Tzfas. Now, I'm not saying that there are no non-Jews in Tzfas, but Tzfas was a peaceful area where mostly the Jews were able to run their own show. They were able to do their own thing. The Ramah lived in Krakow. Mm-hmm. Krakow, the Jews were not able to run their own show, and they very much were connected to the non-Jews. Now, their connection to the non-Jews is a lot different than our connection to non-Jews. Their connection with non-Jews was that of an oppressive government that was corrupt, and that taxed Jews heavily, more heavily than other groups, and was unfair, and you couldn't deal with, and all that. So they recognize holidays, but for them, often holidays were a time of fear. It's time to be afraid, like, oh gosh, what are they going to do? What's going to be this coming holiday? Which is what makes this Shiloh so unique for us today, because all of a sudden we're thrown in the last 100, 150 years, we're thrown into a situation where we like our government. For most of the time, we're pretty excited about our government. And even if there's specific policies that we don't like, and even if we don't like a certain official, or even if we don't like whoever it is that we don't like, essentially the government works very well for us, and works very well for Jews. And we have the ability to lobby the government, and they listen to us, and they care about what we say. And that is a very unique situation that really Jews have really never been in before. Certainly Ashkenazim Jews that are following according to the Pesach of the Ramah. So that really, over the course of the next 3 weeks, one really has to keep that in mind. That in a way, yes, we have to understand what was said in the past, and we have to figure out how it applies to the modern situations. The other real difference, as we'll realize pretty quickly, is that the idea that everything today is really much more of a secular nature than it ever was before. Right, that's a reality that exists now that didn't really exist before. The idea of there just being secular holidays. Right, secular holiday in Europe, there were no such thing as secular holiday. Even if it was a country-specific holiday, much of it still revolved around the church. Much of it still revolved around religious practices, and the fact that we don't do that today, that much of these things could be removed from religious practices, is something that is unique. Okay, so says the Roma. Let's just, you don't have to do the Mechaber right now, we'll do that next week, but you take a look at the italics, the second half, right, halfway down, source number 2, it changes. Right, that's what Moshe Israel is passing for Ashkenazim. So he writes, Yehi muvdal mehem mumubashim v'shar ma'isiv. You should be separate from them in terms of your clothing and other actions. V'chol zeh eino aser el b'davar shenagu boa ovde kochavim l'shum pritzus. He says these are only things, the fact that we have to separate from them, says the Ramah, is only for things that really involve pritzus. Pritzus means immoral activities. Kagon, for example, shenagu lilvush mabushim adumim. For instance, that they used to wear red clothing. The specific types of people used to wear specific types of clothing. Okay. V'hu malbush sar mechadom alezem mabushi apritzus. And these were, you know, to indicate that they were malbushi pritzus, that they were clothing of pritzus. Oh, here they just don't wear. But okay, anyways. Or something that their minug was as a chok, meaning something without meaning, there's no real reason for what they're doing. And if there's no reason for it, so you have to be concerned about darkei amori. Okay? So two things, right? The Ramah so far has said two things. You're not allowed to follow them when what they're doing really has a basis in pritzus, right, in morality, or number two has a basis in nothingness. It's made up. It's as Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, it's stupid, right? Things that are stupid, one is not permitted to do. Well, we'll save one for later. But in here, he talks specifically about hypnotism for fun. And Rav Soloveitchik didn't like doing hypnosis for fun because he thought that was just stupid. That he samach tes vav pei yud dalad. Stupid. I'll show you later. Anyways, v'sheish b'shemetz ve'avodas chuchavim me'avodam. Or v'sheish b'shemetz avodas chuchavim me'avodam. Or there is a hint of avodah zarah. Ah, okay. Aval davar shenagu l'toelas, but something that makes sense. Kigon. And again, this is next week. Shadarkan shakomish hu rofe mumcha yeshlo malbush miyuchat shenikar bo shehu rofe uman. That all doctors wear doctor's clothing. Right? That makes a lot of sense. Right? Plus, you know, I'll share a story off record. Remind you later. But it makes sense that, you know, doctors wear uniforms. Otherwise, I wouldn't necessarily want somebody coming in their jeans and a t-shirt doing certain types of examinations. Okay. Mutter Levoshim, so then you're allowed to do it. Even though the non-Jews came up with the idea of doctor's clothing in the 1100s, there's a big tshuva about this, which we'll see next week. Right? It makes sense. V'chein she'osim ishum kavod o tamacher mutter. Right? Or if it's done for kavod or some other reason. So again, what were the limitations? One is, if it was done for pizzas, you can't file them. Two, if there's no reason for it, you can't file them. And number three, if it has a shemitz, a hint of a avodah zarah, you can't follow them. Okay, so now, with that understanding of the Ramah, So it comes with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe starts talking about Thanksgiving. Rav Moshe has several tshuvas where he mentions Thanksgiving. It was a big deal at the time. It was a big deal. It's a big deal now. It was a big deal at the time. Well, notice it's a big deal in a slightly different way, as we will see shortly. So Rav Moshe writes, this is a tshuva, Chelek Beis, very early on. This is, I think, in the 1950 or so, I think, is when this tshuva was written. And I forgot to mark it off. But it's... I forgot to put the date on, but it's somewhat earlier in Rav Moshe's career here in America. So he writes, "Uvedar lasos is a simcha bimei eid shel nachrim, to make any type of simcha on a holiday of nachrim imhu mitzad emunasam im kavana machm shu yom eid aser midina. If it's because you want to do a celebration because it's their holiday, right? So that's not allowed. That's aser. Meaning their holiday. V'im below kavana yesh laser mitzad marasayin. And even if it's not kavana, it's just a nice time to have a party." He says, celebrate having parties on their holidays. Again, what are their holidays? It's a bit of a question for now, right? We'll see, he'll clarify that. But having a party on their holidays, he says, that would be a problem with Marasayim. V'su'udas mitzvah k'milu pidyon abe mishlasos afilu b'mei eid shalahen, right? You're allowed to do a su'udas mitzvah, such as a bris and such as a pidyon aben, because, well, A, we don't really have a choice, right? Nature kind of decides when we're supposed to do that. However, one could make the case that if you have a bris on their holiday, if you really want to be stark about it, really want to be tough about it, say, no, we don't do parties on their holidays, and the bris will be very small, right? We won't invite friends, we won't invite so many people, right? We're just saying, no, you don't have to do that. If it's clearly a suda smitzvah, there's a purpose involved, and it's a good reason why it's taking place on that day, so there's no reason for limitations. The ein laser bishvil marasayin suda samichuyeves, because it's a suda that is obligatory. Aval. Sudas bar mitzvah, tov lichos al yom acher. He says if you have to have a bar mitzvah, it's better to push off to another day. V'af nisuin yesh tikvo lecharchil al yom acher. And even nisuin, one perhaps should do on a different day. You shouldn't do on a holiday. However, v'yom rishon mishana, then he lists two in particular. V'yom rishon mishana shelahem, meaning the first day, I mean New Year's Day, January 1st, New Year's Day. V'chein Thanksgiving. Ein laser midina. I'm not going to aser midina about bali nefesh yish lahem lahachmer. Right, but however, bali nefesh perhaps should be machmer on those 2 days. Now, why should be machmer on those 2 days? So the tradition is that Rav Moshe wasn't sure. Rav Moshe wasn't sure exactly what these days are all about, and perhaps we'll see shortly what made things a little bit confusing for him. But he wasn't sure exactly what either of these 2 days were about, that he felt that perhaps both of them were really based in a non-Jewish practice. That there was really the origin of both of them, both New Year's Day and Thanksgiving, had an origin in Christian practice, and therefore, of course, had an origin in Christian practice. He says, Bali Nefesh should separate. He says, Bali Nefesh, you should stay away. But I can't answer it. I can't say it's a read, because really, both of these days today, both are really more about festivals to football than about festivals to any type of other religions. So that's tshuva number one. Okay? Tshuva number two, however, shows up much more later. In fact, this is the Chelek Dalid of Yerideya, is the posthumous tshuva, is posthumous volume number one. Posthumous volume number two came out a couple of months ago. The posthumous volume number one of Igros Moshe, Chelek Ches of Igros Moshe, has this tshuva that was written earlier. He wrote this with his own hands. It appeared in the Torah Journal during his lifetime, but it was placed. But it made it into Igros Moshe only later on. And here he writes. The question is, im aser mitzad b'chukosechem lo seilechu, right? Is it prohibited because of you shall not follow the ways of the non-Jews? Lishtatif besudas yom hauda she'otzim b'artzus habris. To be part of a suda of yom hauda, Thanksgiving, right? That's what he's talking about, she'otzim b'artzus habris, that they do in America. So he continues, and that's the question. In that case, he actually has the question, because it was an essay that he wrote in someplace else. He writes, "Uvedavra hashtatfus bimei shemachshivim yom hodaya." Right, and the idea of joining with those people that consider it, again, there's the word Thanksgiving, kein chag lasos ben suda, like a holiday on which to make a suda, hine l'cha'ora mikevan shebesifrei daitam lo husker yom zeh l'chag, right, in their svarim, it's not recognized as a holiday, you mean a religious holiday. The gam lo sheyischayvu besuda, and also you're not obligated to have a suda. The kevan shehu yom zecher la anshe hamedina, right? It's a day for the people of this country. Shehu gam kin sameach b'hamedina shebala gur lekan ata omichvar, and we're happy about the fact that we can live in this country now or earlier. Lo matzin b'ze iser la b'yasiya simchas besuda. I don't find any iser, any prohibition in making a su'uda. V'lo ba'achilas tarnagol ahodu. Indic. And there's nothing wrong with eating turkey. V'chdematzinu kai gavna b'kiddushin. We find similar in kiddushin. She'yanai melech asa simcha. Okay, he quotes Yanai doing a problem. Let's skip that. About the end of that line, it says, Aval vaday asu likvoa yom lechovas v'le mitzvah el l'simcha harishus ata. He says, to make it obligatory, to make it required, to make it become part of our religion that we celebrate Sukkot, Pesach, and Thanksgiving, right? He says, that's not allowed. He said, that you can't do. We can't make it obligatory, we can't make it required. But to be part of a suda, to take part in something that's going on anyways, so Rav Moshe says that is permissible. So it seems like there's a shift from that earlier tshuva. The earlier tshuva seems to be very nervous, and here he's already saying that you could even celebrate, you could even take part in the meal itself. And he doesn't include the Bali and Nefesh piece. He doesn't include the idea of those that perhaps should be strict. Just to bring in the third opinion, which...
And that's because he sees no...
So Lechora... Right, so Lechora, that's what it seems. It seems like that there is not much of a connection anymore. Or he sees not just no connection anymore, perhaps he realized that there was no connection in the first place, as we're going to say. In my yeshiva, from the time I was a junior in high school until I got married, right? I was in shir every year on Thanksgiving in NYU. All of them were optional. All of them, every yeshiva, we all canceled shir, but all of my rebbeim during those years all gave shir during that days, and that's in tradition of Rav Salvechik. However, also following the tradition of Rav Salvechik, shir was not from 1 to 3 o'clock as it normally is, but rather it was earlier in the morning. So let's take a look in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. Rav Shechter quotes, tells his experience. He says, Das Rabbeinu Haisa, that the idea of Rabbeinu, meaning Rav Salvechik, was Shemutr Lechol Basar Hodu, that it's permissible to eat turkey b'sof November b'yom Thanksgiving. In November, on the day of Thanksgiving. Now, that's not a small chiddush for Rav Shechter to write, because Rav Shechter actually, and I never actually heard him say this publicly until about this past week. I was listening to his shiur on something totally different, where he mentioned that he assumed, I mean, this all the Talmidim know about this, but I never didn't realize that he said publicly that Rav Shechter believes that one is really not supposed to eat turkey at all. Turkey really is not supposed to be kosher for Ashkenazim. Why that is because turkey is an American bird, and the Ramah writes that one should really have a tradition from all birds that they eat. Now, why does most Jews eat it? Well, even most Ashkenazim, why has it become traditional to eat it? So because Christopher Columbus discovered America, right? And one of the things that he brought back was a turkey, right? However, where did Christopher Columbus bring his turkey back to?
Spain.
So who were the first Jews to then... Spain at that point was already Judenrein. But other parts of that, other areas where the original explorations would come from were Sfardim. And Sfardim are not bound by that Brahma. Sfardim will eat chickens, even though... will eat birds based on the simanim that are given in the Gemara, the signs given in the Gemara, and they don't necessarily need a tradition. So the Sfardim all ate it. For 50 years, the Sfardim were eating it. And the Ashkenazim said, hey, look, there's a tradition amongst the Sfardim to eat turkey, so therefore we're included in that tradition. So that's a little bit of a discussion. There was the Shlod, I forget the name, what his name was. His last name was Harwitz. That I know, for I'll tell in a second. The Shlod writes that he says that he wrote in his Tzava, in his will, like last will and testament to his children, that all of my descendants shouldn't eat turkey, because I believe that it's a problem. So so my 12th grade Rebbe was Rav David Horowitz, and Rav David Horowitz was a direct descendant of the Shla, and he says that he has many, I'm not sure what he personally did, but he said that he has several relatives that still won't eat turkey out of Yom HaZeh. He said it's very interesting because these relatives are not sacrilegious and would eat pig on Yom Kippur, but the chas v'shalom that they would ever eat turkey based on this minhag from the Shlach. Okay, so anyway, so he so Soloveitchik wrote that it's permissible to eat turkey. Oh, he even writes it here that there's no problem of that. That also to eat on Thanksgiving isn't a problem. Chukas Agayim. And so too we heard. That's what it stands for, right? And so too that that was the understanding of his father as well. That that there is nothing wrong with eating on Thanksgiving. Now, there is a Torah Shebaal Peh here on the side here. See a letter from Dr. Avi Feldman. I don't really know who that is, but it's quoted also one of these quoted, widely quoted letters where he writes that he says, I don't really know if Rav Soloveitchik actually ate turkey himself on Thanksgiving, but he gave shir early on Thanksgiving not just so that the students could get home, but so that he himself could get home. That he used to be in New York during the week, and he used to be in Boston over the weekends, and he used to fly back and forth. He would give shir Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then later on it was different, whatever, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, take a flight on Monday afternoon, and leave Thursday night, and go back to Boston. So on Thanksgiving, he would leave early. He would give shir early, and then take an afternoon flight, so he can be back with his family earlier on Thursday afternoon. I understand he was a Lions fan. So he took so the tradition is that he did. So there's one little story at the end. On Thanksgiving 1976, five lines from the bottom, there was the famous Thanksgiving shir where the Rav spent about 5 hours, most of it in silent thought, working through the Tosfos. After the second or third time, the Shamish passed him a note about the flight back to Boston. The Rav turned to him and said, "No one leaves here until we've understood what Tosfos is saying." So I don't know what happened that year in terms of the pseudos, but that was 1976. Okay, so perhaps what caused this shift? So if one looks early on, if you take a look on the left side, there's a big thing. It says Thanksgiving services. That's much smaller than I actually have a, thanks to Dr. Rabbi J.J. Schachter, a copy of the Thanksgiving program. Now you'll notice this Thanksgiving services, Thursday, November 21st, 1940, 11 a.m., Congregation Kehilat Jeshurun. That's KJ, right? That's the Orthodox shul on the east side of Manhattan. That's Rabbi Lichtenstein's shul. At that point, it was his father's shul, also Rabbi Lichtenstein. Right? And they had, there's actually a six-page service where they had this whole procession. They brought in government officials to make proclamations. And they did it in shul, it seems like. This was actually the service. And that's not the only place they actually did any type of, so if anyone wants to see it, you can send it to you, whatever. I have the entire program. But that, presumably that's not the only place in the entire country that was doing religious services. There probably were many places that were doing some type of religious services. And Ad HaYom HaZeh, in various parts of the country, it does have a little bit more of a religious nature. However, if you take a look at the right, this is something that my father sent me on Erev Thanksgiving, that there is a fascinating little tidbit here that the claim is that really the original Thanksgiving really had Jewish origins, because the person in charge of the pilgrims, William Bradford. I don't know, have you ever heard of William Bradford? Right, he was one of the big pilgrims. He became the governor of Plymouth Colony, right here, right. So William Bradford, so he had a Bible from someone in particular, and when he in that Bible, when he made landfall, so he opened up to Tehillim Perek Kuf Zayin, and in his and in his edition of the Bible that was given to him by this Puritan scholar, Henry Ainsworth, there was a... it writes in very strange-looking English, right? The Hebrews have this canon, four must confess, the sick he is healed, the prisoners released out of bounds, they go down to sea when they come up, the wayfaring men when they come to the inhabited land, and they must make confessions before 10 men, and two of them wise men. Now, what is that talking about? Where is that coming from? That's a Rambam. Right, the Rambam writes in his discussions of the Rambam is describing Birchas HaGomel, right? That when one survives something that was dangerous, right? So there's Birchas HaGomel. One of them is crossing a long sea, which is in a long sea gadol mizu at that point in time, and so that perhaps this person claims in this book that is the The suggestion is that even the original idea to have Thanksgiving in the first place wasn't a non-Jewish idea, but actually it was a specifically Jewish idea. It came from the Rambam. It didn't come from any type of non-Jew. But okay, that's...
It came from the Rambam being read by a Puritan Hebraist.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all good. So... But regardless on what one wants to hold regarding the original Thanksgiving, so again, Rabbi Broid's article, he actually goes through a lot of the scholarship on this. One could take a look there. He claims that it actually wasn't the idea of having Thanksgiving fell out. Originally was the end of the year. It was June, July. But they survived the year. Then it got moved, perhaps to the beginning of the year after the harvest season, and then like stopped for a while. It came into existence again because someone suggested it to George Washington. So that actually, this you could find online as well pretty easily. The official proclamation of George Washington establishing Thanksgiving, and he writes here in order the people of these states in the service of that great and glorious being, in the service of God. So who's God? What God? What religious God? So George Washington is very mocked not to include any religion in it. It's actually a thanks to a God, right? And it's all God. So therefore, you see in the original proclamation of George Washington, at least, that there is no hint of any specific avodah zarah or any specific religion. It actually fell out of disuse again. It came back into practice after the Civil War. Civil War is kind of when it started again. Another little tidbit. FDR. It used to be the last, you know about this? It used to be the last Thursday of November. Now it's not the last Thursday, it's the second to last Thursday of November. Why is that? So,
Fourth Thursday.
The fourth Thursday. Why is it the fourth Thursday? So FDR wanted an extra week of shopping. He wanted to bring forward Black Friday as soon as possible.
The holiday, the day off. He's the one who made it that.
I think he moved it to there. I think it was.
It was.
I think it was, and then he moved it back to make it earlier. So there are those I understand that are very mocked and keep 2 days of Thanksgiving. One day. Right. Okay. So anyway, that is the Thanksgiving discussion. So at the end, there's really two/maybe three opinions. Right? You have Rufutner saying, no way, all this stuff is Narishkeit, all this stuff is terrible. It's all based on a vote. Anything based on the count is based on a avodah zarah, and not allowed to keep it. You even got to move your car from one side of the street to the other. Maybe and no bar mitzvahs and no weddings and no nothing, right? Halva, you should be able to go to work, then you have Rav Moshe, which is kind of the mainstream psak that is out there, saying that if you want it, there's no problem. One is permitted to do so, right? There's nothing wrong with eating turkey. Turkey happens to taste very good. Nothing wrong with watching. Well, might not be anything wrong with watching football, right? I don't know if he enjoyed it, but you know that is something that is done. That's something that fits in, that passes the logic test that the Ramah gives, and therefore it's permissible to do. He says one should maybe be strict to make sure it doesn't become canonized. That you know, you should make sure that it one should be mavdil, being kodesh l'chol to some extent, but certainly keeping it is not an inappropriate thing to do. And then you have a Soloveitchik that seemed to motivate it, that seemed to push it. Now again, this, within the amongst the Talmidim, there's different versions of the stories, but it seems like he certainly understood its widespread acceptance, and seemed to celebrate it himself, at least according to several people that are out there. Okay. Now, as we move along in the calendar, yes.
Why is there any ambiguity about Rav Soloveitchik's practice?
What can we ask? Yeah, I don't know. We can ask someone.
I mean, his daughter
is still alive.
She's very well known to us.
Yeah. I don't know. You want to call her up? Call her up. I don't know.
What? Okay.
I don't know. I don't have her number.
I still don't understand why a fact like this is a matter of theoretical academic debate when, like, all of us have met his children at one point or another.
Next time you meet him.
Just ask, did the Rav prefer dark meat or white meat?
Yeah, well, there'll be a whole bunch of them at a wedding in a couple of months. You can maybe ask around at that point. Okay, so there is, when you get to Christmas and New Year, so Christmas is obviously a religious holiday. So obviously any recognition of the day itself is a problem. There's even an idea that didn't quite make it into this lecture series, even an idea of not learning the night of Christmas, the idea of Nittelnacht. I think we've discussed this in the past in various things. And that is considered still at a Yom HaZeh. It's considered, it certainly has religious overtones. Even people that are secular might celebrate it for the great shopping involved, right? Even so, there still certainly is secular overtones. And even though the United States government may say that it's not that it's a secular holiday, it's not a religious holiday. That's how you could, right? They also say that Hanukkah is a secular holiday and not a religious holiday. So we're not necessarily going to pasquin-like the U.S. government on that one. So to celebrate Christmas as a specific day, that is a problem. However, the question then is raised, well, what about the secular nature of it? So what is the secular nature of Christmas? So number one would be that most people don't go to work on that day, right? So can we have minyan at a later time? Is that a problem? Is that not a problem? Then is there a alternate side of the street parking, right? Is that appropriate? Is that inappropriate? And then the third one would be having various simchas that would take place on Christmas Day. So that probably would plug that into Rav Moshe's talk. I mean, even if you assume that it is more secular in nature today, right, plug that into where Rav Moshe said it's better not to do any parties on this. If you have a choice, it's better not to do bar and bat mitzvahs on that day. Not a problem this year, right? My bar mitzvah actually was Christmas Day. Was Christmas Day, right? Yeah, I didn't know this, Tshuva. It was also Shabbos that year. It was Asar B'Tavis was on Friday. Next that night was the Eve, and then that day was and fell in on Shabbos. Okay. So New Year's now. We'll do New Year's, and then we can talk very quickly about, well, what about both of these observances today, as it would apply to most people, many people in this world. Yes?
Tell somebody, by coincidence, has a birthday, December 25th. Can their family...
Not allowed. December 25th a family party is not, I don't think is what Ramosha was talking about. Which is talking about something you invite people to, and you have a big deal. Now there is a this is a tshuva of the Truma Sadeshin here that makes it into the Ramah. This tshuva of the Truma Sadeshin is somewhat famous because it doesn't exist in most editions of the Truma Sadeshin. It was cut out. It was cut out in most editions. Now the Truma Sadeshin was quoted the other night is a. He's very famous because he wrote his own questions. He wrote his own shailas in order to give tshuvas to. So he talks about in this tshuva about the concept of giving gifts before New Year's Day. Now New Year's Day today, most people would say, "Well, what could be religious about New Year's Day?" If you do a quick counting, an observation will bring you to notice that New Year's Day usually coincidentally falls out on the same day of the week as Christmas did a week earlier, right? Why is that? Because it's 8 days later. And therefore, some claim, those that claim that he was born on Christmas in the first place, means that his bris was on New Year's. So New Year's Day does have religious significance. But again, today, how many people on the street would you actually know that? And if you look at New Year's cards, or New Year, anything of that day, how many of them will have any religious overtones? Now, I think there are still some, from what I gather, there might still be some who might recognize it as such, but it is not a very commonly recognized religious holiday. So the Truma Sadeshin here, and we won't go through it now, but the Truma Sadeshin here discusses how the Matanos, meaning the is one permitted to give gifts to non-Jews on New Year. New Year's or Erev New Year's, he says one should do it post New Year's rather than Erev New Year's because they recognize it as a Simen Bracha, that if they get gifts leading up to New Year's, and particularly on New Year's itself, right, so that's considered a Simen Bracha, it's a good sign for them, and we don't want to contribute to any of their good signs, whether made up or not made up, right, we don't really want to be involved with any of that. So therefore, the Truma Sadeshin says that one should really push it off till later. However, he gets it, if you need to, if it's a Mishum Eva, if it's going to be damaged, it's going to be a problem, so then he would permit it. Yes?
So when was this?
This is like the 1300s. Yeah, I think end of 1300s. Truma Sadeshin is only a generation or two before the Ramah, but it is obviously it's very early. And Truma Sadeshin is quoted extensively within the Ramah, as he is in source number 9. Right, he writes here in the middle, if one looks at source number 9, right in the middle of the italicized part, there's a tes zayin and a brackets. V'lachein, im nichnas l'ir umatzam smeichim b'yom chagam. If you walk into a city, and all of a sudden they're just having a party. Like, woo, you who knew, right? It's like, you know, those days in at YU when we found out that there was no alternate side of the street parking that day, right? So we had a party. So yismach imahem mishum eva. So one is permitted to celebrate them mishum eva. Dahavi kemachnif lahem. As you are flattering them. Mikol makom bal nefesh yarchik milasmoch imahem im yochol lasos shelo yelo eva bedavar. Right? But a bal nefesh should try to separate themselves. A bal nefesh, somebody who's trying to be strict with themselves, should try to separate themselves from that so that there won't be any eva. So that there won't be any... But, you should try to separate from it as long as there won't be any eva in it. Okay. So, what is that? In a way, one can make a strong case that he's talking about holiday parties. Right, he's talking about those days. So those issues, the people that have those issues, and now it's not called Christmas parties, well, holiday parties, that makes it even better. But really, it's based on theirs. It's not because of Hanukkah. It's because of other calendar issues that are taking place amongst the non-Jews. And certainly, they do have a sense of having a religious piece to them. So the Rama says that if it's going to cause you a problem, Mishum Eva, if it's going to cause a problem, so he seems to say that's okay. You need to go and just participate and not make any waves, that's okay. But if one could, they should try to get out of them as much as possible, and that's pretty much, I think, the psak out there, that if you need it for your job, and that's okay, that's what we do. But certainly one should try, if all possible, to separate from them. That's Christmas and New Year's as well. And New Year's, because it has... So New Year's Day, there's not much to really be involved in. Perhaps to be involved, to do this, to really have a full-fledged New Year's Eve party, that might be the kind of thing that Rav Moshe would not be happy about. That might be the kind of thing that he's saying that one shouldn't be involved, because there is a secular origin, and there also is no real good reason to do it, right? There's no real logical reason to do it other than, you know, to have a party any night of the year, but to specifically have a party on that night, that probably doesn't get you any of the leniencies that the Rama was talking about earlier, right? There is kind of a basis in Avodah Zarah, and in order to get out of that, there needs to be a good reason to do it, there needs to be no trace of Avodah Zarah, and there has to be no pritzus involved. So you can make a case that there's no Avodah Zarah anymore. You can make a case that there's no pritzus involved, though it's not that easy a case to make. Pritzus is immoral overtones. And then the third thing, that there's a good reason to do it, so I'm not sure what the good reason to do it is. If one could tell me what the good reason would be, so then you would award yourself, you'd be awarded with a kula for New Year's Eve parties. Okay.
Rils?
Yes?
You mentioned before about davening later. I used to daven in Rabbi Black's shul for
years,
and he always would announce on December 25th we're davening at 8 o'clock because it's a legal holiday.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't worry about it.
Right. So that is an ongoing debate out there. My parents' shul, that is an ongoing debate. Somebody was very mocked about it, which 30 years ago, my father started in the shul, the big nafkamina was whether minyan would be at 6:30 or 7:30. Right. No, 6:30 or 8. Now there's a minyan at 6:15, 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8, and 9. Every day. No, I'm sorry, there's no 8:30. So I think the nafkamina is only if 7:30 switches to, I don't remember what it is. I think if 7:30 switches to, one of those is there's only one nafkamina now, and it's not such a big deal anymore. Okay, so...
Wait, but there would be, because if someone generally goes to the 6:30 minyan...
Mm-hmm.
Mm. If you want to be nafkamina.
Right. In terms of policy, there's no nafkamina, but for personal shaila, then maybe there would be, right? So, let us cover two other ones over the course of the year. After New Year's Day, the next big holiday on the schedule is Valentine's Day. And the way Valentine's Day, we kind of all just assume, has a Christian origin to it. And there is a Christian origin to it. I put here, on the bottom here, you could check out a little bit of that. It's a very questionable what that origin is. Nobody really knows exactly what the story is that brought about Valentine's Day. There's some kind of Saint Valentina who helped his captor while being in love with his daughter, and his captor, before his captor executed him, he sent some kind of gift or wrote some kind of Valentine card to this girl, and that is one of the alleged origins of Valentine's Day, but nobody's really sure what it is. So the celebration of Valentine's Day, what about the celebration of Valentine's Day? Is that okay? Is that a problem? What is going on there? So one can claim, if one goes to Hallmark now, or not now, but if you go in Hallmark in a couple of months and try to take a look at Valentine's Day, you will be hard-pressed to find one that has any type of religious intonation in any of the cards. So in a way, one could say that it's gone the way of New Year's Day. Like, yes, New Year's Day may have originally been a religious holiday, and now there's no trace of religion left in it. Valentine's Day, there's no trace of religion left in it. Right? We just kind of have more of a problem because we all have heard of this Saint Valentine. But there's no trace of religion with it. So we said, really, one shouldn't celebrate. There's not really much of a reason to actually do a real celebration on New Year's Day, but is there any reason to do a real celebration on Valentine's Day? So in a way, Valentine's Day is better. Because what are the celebrations of Valentine's Day? The celebration of Valentine's Day is to bring home flowers and to buy your wife a box of chocolates. So that probably is a good idea any day of the week, any day of the year. So because of those, there is a positive benefit to do it. So to say that Valentine's Day would be a problem is not so clear. Why should it be a problem? That perhaps it's secular, and the clause of the Ramah that would fit under is there's a good reason to do it. There's a positive reason that comes out of it. So therefore, it might make sense, not necessarily to send a Saint Valentine's card, but perhaps put a little bit of effort into Shalom Bayis that day. Similarly to the next couple of holidays on our calendar, such as Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, etc. That group, certainly there is a positive reason to do it. There's a positive reason to have Memorial Day. There's a positive reason to march in the, if one is a veteran, to march in the parade. There's a, not just for themselves, but for, it would be nice for people to see someone whose last name is named Schwartz walking in as a veteran, right? That is a positive, that displays a positive image on behalf of the Jewish community, and therefore there's a positive benefit to come from it. So that list, that slew of holidays that go May, June, July, August, September.
Then through July 4th?
Including July 4th as well, right? There's no religious overtones to those at all. And there's a positive thing to be gained from it, right? We do recognize America as being a good thing, as Rav Moshe said in that tshuva. The last holiday, which is perhaps before Thanksgiving, that perhaps is a real significant problem. Labor Day will throw in with those as well, right? Unless for some people it might not be a Yom Tov. I'm not sure where you stand. but I can guess. but Halloween is a significant question. Now, Halloween clearly has a religious origin. It clearly comes from a religious source. What that religious source is, again, is somewhat dubious. It's a little bit unclear what that religious source is. It's even unclear what religion it is, whether it's pagan or whether it's Christian. But it certainly does have its source in other religious activities. So one could make a claim now that if you ask most people trick-or-treating, most people being involved with these holidays, so if you ask them, what is the religious basis for your activities tonight? They'll look at you like you're absolutely crazy. They will have no idea what in the world you are talking about. So therefore, perhaps it should be okay. However, it's like New Year's Day. You're going to have a hard time finding the source for it. I mean, what makes sense about it? I mean, what is the positive thing that we're gaining from the celebration of Halloween? That it certainly has a source in Avodah Zarah. There is priests involved as well. And there is...
Now there is,
correct. And I'm not sure what positive aspects there are with knocking on people's door and threatening them for candy. It doesn't seem...
Not only that, but it seems like seems like it's almost a celebration of death, because it's like ghouls and ghosts and people put up tombstones.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's I'm even going past that. I'm even saying that's just the coincidence. That's not, you know, that's how people happen to dress up. But one could claim that no, there's still a religious aspect to it because of the nature of many of the costumes that one sees. So the Halloween celebrations or the Halloween activities are seriously problematic. Now one can without giving out candy. So if Bob Pransky was here, he would, I think, tell the story that he was in one of the Gedolim's, I forget who, I can guess, I don't want to say it on tape. One of the Gedolim's houses, he happened to be there on October 31st, and they were popping popcorn for it to give out to the kids that were going to knock on the doors. So, because by not doing it, perhaps, right, that falls into that Ramah discussed Eva, that discussed going to the parties, right? You go to the parties if it's going to cause Eva, right? If you don't give them candy, they're going to pelt your house with eggs, right? So then there is a pretty good reason to give it, and we're not necessarily losing out by it. But to go and actively celebrate the day, I think could very possibly fall under the prohibitions of the bottom line, everything in a way we're analyzing all of these days more than most people analyze them. I mean, when Jews knock on our door, which is the majority of the people that knock on our door on Halloween night, don't want to say, like, do you know where this day is coming from? And then you realize it's just as they might not know what this day is coming from, they might not know what our days are coming from. I just thought about that this year. And that's part of the chizuk that we have to do. We have to make sure that people become more responsible, more sophisticated about what people are doing with their times. Yes?
There's been developments in the last 20 years where Halloween and and Valentine's Day are becoming bigger than they ever had been. You have more cards and da-da-da.
Right.
That's part of it. But also, in the public schools, they can't talk about Christmas anymore. They can't have any celebrations about Christmas. So instead, they have the big parties and big things and concerts around Halloween and Valentine's Day. Does that change our analysis that it's almost like it's a substitute for Christmas, but it's a secular substitute because Christmas itself was forced by the government?
It's a secular. They're secular days, and both of them with religious overtones. And you have to then analyze what it is that we're doing now. Is there I'm not sure if that would change anything. You have to analyze what we're doing. So if there's a positive benefit from it, which one can make a claim exists at Valentine's Day, so then there is a positive benefit. But if there's no positive benefit from it.
Valentine's Day wouldn't have pizzas?
If it's somebody that you're.
The general.
Right. So it's right. So it's not an objective claim. Okay, all Jews should celebrate Valentine's Day. But if somebody would ask me, should I buy flowers for my wife on Valentine's Day? So there's nothing wrong with buying flowers for your wife on Valentine's Day. There's nothing wrong with buying it for them any other day. And it's probably not just nothing wrong, but it's probably a good idea.
How about Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day. I hear that's a Chag Shel Medina Zoo, right? That's in Pennsylvania. That might fall under the Dark Amori.
It's just like Halloween.
That might fall under the Shtus category. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming.